Bismillah, praise be to Allah, the Lord of the worlds, the creator of all the creations, the one that has no beginning and no ending. Allah, whom exists without a place and does not resemble the creations in any way. Whatever you imagine in your minds, Allah is different from it. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to raise the rank of our beloved and master and teacher, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him. And I ask Allah Ta'ala to keep us steadfast on Islam, which is the religion of all the prophets. Ameen. Today we will talk about Ar-Ridda. What is blasphemy? What is apostasy? Ar-Ridda is to interrupt Islam. Blasphemy, apostasy, is to interrupt Al-Islam. And it is divided into three categories. Such classification was given by scholars of Ahlus Sunnah such as Al-Imam Al-Nawawi and other scholars from the Shafi'iyya and the Hanafiyya and other schools of Islamic law. Its categories are blasphemous beliefs, kufr beliefs that is, blasphemous doings and blasphemous sayings. That means a person who is Muslim, if he or she committed a blasphemous belief in the heart or a blasphemous doing, such as throwing the Quran in the disrespected places or such, or blasphemous sayings, such as cussing Allah or the prophets or the religion of Islam, this interrupts Islam. That means that person who committed such blasphemy is no longer Muslim and is obligated to return to Islam by leaving the blasphemy and testifying again, saying the Shahadatain, no one is God except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Even if the person was a Muslim, if that person committed blasphemy, then he is no longer a Muslim and must return to Islam. And the proof to this, also it is not a condition for one to fall into the blasphemy, into al-kufr, that the person knows the judgment, as some people claimed, or that they were angry and that some claim is an excuse for them. To refute this claim, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam, Prophet Muhammad, peace be upon him, said the hadith, إِنَّ الْعَبْدَ لَيَتَكَلَّمُ بِالْكَلِمَةِ لَا يَرَى بِهَا بَأْسًا يَهْوِي بِهَا فِي النَّارِ سَبْعِينَ خَرِيفًا. This hadith means a person may utter a word that he thinks harmless, but it results in his falling in hellfire the depth of 70 years in distance in travel. This means that word that that person thought was harmless was blasphemy, and therefore it took him out of Islam and it resulted in his falling into hellfire the depth of 70 years, which is the bottom of hellfire. The distance covered in descending 70 years in hellfire is the bottom of hellfire, Jahannam, and it is only inhabited by the kuffar, non-Muslims, blasphemers, that is. This hadith, the saying of the Prophet, peace be upon him, was narrated by At-Tirmidhi, and he classified it as a Hasan, authentic hadith. A hadith related by Al-Bukhari and Muslim as well has a similar meaning. It says, what means, the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wasallam said, what means, the slave may utter a word that he thinks not harm, but it results in his falling in hellfire a deep distance longer than that between the east and west. Al-Hafidh ibn Hajar al-Asqalani said in Fath al-Bari, which is the explanation of Sahih al-Bukhari, he said when interpreting this hadith, he said, this includes what infers belittling Allah, God, or his Islamic laws. So those two hadiths are a proof that it is not a condition for a person to commit kufr or blasphemy that he or she knows the judgment or feels delighted or believes the meaning of the uttered blasphemous word. For example, if someone cussed Allah, and then he said, I did not know that cussing Allah is blasphemy. This is not an excuse. Ignorance is not an excuse. Or if a person cursed Prophet Jesus, or Prophet Moses, or Abraham, or Prophet Muhammad, and after he cussed them, he said, I did not know that cussing them is blasphemy. Or he said, I was angry when I cussed them. Or he said, I was not delighted when I cussed them. This is not an excuse at all. It does not exempt them from the blasphemy. Such a condition was falsely stated as such in the book of a man who authored a book called Fiqh as-Sunnah. The book of Fiqh as-Sunnah has stipulated that this is a condition, meaning he claimed that in order for the kufr or the blasphemy to be judged as blasphemy, the person must have felt delighted when he said it, or he knew the judgment of that blasphemy when he uttered it. This is not true. Such a condition is unfounded, because the Prophet, peace be upon him, he said in the hadith that the slave may utter a word that he thinks harmless. So he thought this word is harmless, but it results in his falling in hellfire, the depth of 70 years. So this is a proof that if the person said a blasphemous statement, a blasphemous belief in the heart, such as believing that Allah is a body, or he has limits, or that Allah occupies a place, or has a shape, or sits on the throne, as the Jews claim, or attributes to Allah any bodily attributes, or cusses Allah or the prophets, which is blasphemous sayings, or does an action which is blasphemous, such as worshipping or performing sujood, prostration to an idol, or the like, such is a blasphemy which interrupts one's faith and takes him or her out of Islam. Whether they knew the judgment, whether they were delighted or angry, and whether they did not know the judgment of that statement being kufr or not, they are not exempted from the kufr. The only exception is if it was a slip of a tongue, which is a different case. A slip of a tongue is when a person is trying to say a statement and his tongue slips and says an opposite statement. And that is a different case. But when the person is angry or joking, or he was ignorant of the judgment of what he said, and he said a blasphemous statement, then he is not exempted from that blasphemy and is obligated to leave it, repent from it, by uttering the testifications of faith to return to Islam. And a proof from Al-Quran that belittling Allah or his messenger is kufr, the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah At-Tawbah, ayah 65, Allah ta'ala said in that ayah what means, if they, the kuffar, were questioned, they would say, we were just talking and joking. Say to them, is it Allah, his ayat, and messenger you were belittling? Do not give any excuse. You committed kufr after you had the belief. لَقَدْ كَفَرْتُمْ بَعْدَ إِيمَانِكُمْ This ayah is a proof that these people who belittled Allah, his ayat, his messenger, they have blasphemed after their belief, after being believers. And among the scholars of Islam, those who conveyed the ijma', the consensus of the Muslims about charging and declaring with kufr the person who cusses Allah is Al-Imam Al-Qadi Iyad Al-Yahsubi. He mentioned this saying in his book called Al-Shifa. He said, there is no disagreement among the Muslims that a person from the Muslims who cusses Allah is a kafir and deserves to be persecuted, that is, by the Muslim ruler. This statement of Imam Qadi Iyad in his book Ash-Shifa, which is a very well-known book, proves that the person who falls into blasphemy, even if he was a Muslim, even if his name is Abdullah or Muhammad or he went to Hajj, regardless, cussing Allah or the prophets or the angels is considered blasphemy, and he is obligated to repent from it by returning to Al-Islam, by saying the testifications, no one is God except Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. Also among the scholars who reported the consensus, the ijma' about charging with kufr the person who uttered a blasphemous word is Al-Imam Taj al-Din al-Subki. Imam Taj al-Din al-Subki, in his book called Muqaddimat al-Tabaqat, he said, there is no disagreement among Al-Ash'ari and his companions, say rather among all the Muslims, that the person who utters a saying of kufr or does the doings of Al-Kuffar, the blasphemers, is a kafir about Allah Al-Azim. Furthermore, he will dwell eternally in hellfire, even though his heart knows the truth. However, knowledge does not benefit him with his or her stubbornness and does not protect him from becoming kafir. No two Muslims disagree about that judgment. This is the saying of Imam Taj al-Din al-Subki, which basically means the one who says the blasphemy, even if he knows the truth, even if he knows Islam is true, yet he cusses Allah or Prophet Muhammad or the Quran or the religion of Islam or the like, or belittles Allah or any of the names of Allah, this is considered blasphemy, and there is no disagreement among Muslims in that, and that person is obligated to return to Islam. And the person who denies something that is apparently known, which the ulama, the scholars, and common Muslim equally know, commits kufr. So if the person denies what is known by ijma', by ulama and common Muslims, equally, that person for denying it becomes a blasphemer, such as denying the obligation of the five prayers. If one canceled them or claimed that the five prayers are not an obligation to perform, for example, then he is denying something that is known by ijma'. One is not excused unless he is a new convert, a new Muslim, or has been raised in a desert away from the ulama and does not know that this matter is from al-Islam. Also, the matter in concern must not be related to clearing Allah of the partner and place, and the Prophet from non-befitting attributes as well. So this is an exception for a person who just converted or reverted to Islam. That person, if he embraced Islam and then he was told about something in the law and he said no, for example, you do not have to fast for 30 days or you do not have to pray for five times a day, for example, that person is a new Muslim. We are obligated to teach him. We are obligated to teach him the basics of the beliefs and the obligations of Islam. But if a Muslim person who knows the Muslims and he denied the obligation of the five prayers, then he is no longer considered as a Muslim because he denied something which is known by all Muslims, common Muslims and scholars of Islam. However, even the new Muslim, if he had a blasphemous belief about Allah, such as, although he testified, he said the Shahadatayn, yet he used to believe that God lives in the sky, or that God is a large body that has a shape or an image, or that God is an imaginary body in the skies, or that he sits on the throne. This is all blasphemy. His Islam was not accepted in the first place because of the wrong belief that he had at that time. Or if he believed that something about Prophet Muhammad that does not befit him. Okay? This means that person, he needs to embrace Islam, because embracing Islam necessitates that one leaves blasphemy. So the person who is embracing Islam must leave all the blasphemy and testify that no one is God except Allah, and that Muhammad is the messenger of Allah, while at the same time clearing Allah of the partner and the place, and clearing the prophets from non-befitting attributes. Many people are not aware about this issue, especially the blasphemy. Some of them, they tell you, I have been born as a Muslim and I will stay as a Muslim even if I commit blasphemy or curse Allah or the like. That is not true. The scholars of Islam classified the expressions into two categories, al-zahir and al-sarih. Al-zahir has, according to the language, two meanings or more, but is more used in one of these meanings than the others. For example, when the person utters an expression that is zahir, he is not charged with kufr unless one knows about what the person meant by that saying, because it has two meanings. Maybe he meant the meaning that does not have kufr. On the other hand, a sarih statement or as-sarih does not have any other explanation, only one meaning. So the one who utters a sarih statement, which is kufr, commits kufr, such as cussing Allah. He is not asked about what he meant, and no explanation can be accepted from him unless he does not know the meaning of this sarih saying, because he may think that its meaning is other than what he said. In this case, the saying with regards to him does not carry the standing of as-sarih. So I'll give an example. If a person was taught a statement to say in Arabic, and that statement was blasphemy, sarih blasphemy, clear blasphemy, such as cussing Allah. But when he was learning that statement, someone lied to him and told him this statement means that it means good morning. So he was using that statement, but he thought it meant good morning. It did not mean cussing Allah to him. In that case, he is exempted from that. Why? Because he has the wrong meaning. He was taught or given the wrong meaning absolutely of that statement. Whereas if a person cusses Allah and he said, I did not know that cussing Allah or the prophets or Al-Quran or Al-Islam, he said, I did not know that cussing that makes a person blasphemy or blasphemer. That excuse is not accepted in Islam. Why? Because ignorance in this case is not acceptable. Regardless, he is obligated to return to Islam by saying the testifications. Whereas if a statement has two meanings, it is not sarih, it is zahir, it has two meanings. That word has two meanings. That person used that word, but he meant the proper meaning, not the blasphemous meaning. In that case, we will ask that person what he meant. If he meant the blasphemous meaning, then that is blasphemy. If he did not intend the blasphemous meaning, the other proper meaning, then he is not charged with blasphemy. It's very clear, very simple. Basically, the one who cusses Allah, it's considered as explicit blasphemy. The one who says a statement that bears two meanings, we need to check and weigh that statement on the scale of al-Sharia, the scale of the Islamic law, and compare it to what the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah said. Now, if the person falls in the apostasy, into the riddah, he is obligated to return back to Islam immediately. It is incumbent upon the one who committed al-riddah, the apostasy or the blasphemy, to immediately return to Al-Islam by uttering the two professions, the two testifications. He has also to quit what caused Ar-Ridda, the blasphemy, regret and determine not to commit it or its similar. That's how he repents from the blasphemy. And then he is back to Islam and Islam is accepted from him. But all the good deeds that that person did in the past were gone when he said the blasphemy. Some people, they will fall into the blasphemy and they will not repent from it out of ignorance or out of arrogance. And many consequences occur because of that. So the person is obligated to acquire the Islamic knowledge, to learn what is accepted in Islam and what is not accepted in Islam. Because among the judgments that pertain to Ar-Ridda or blasphemy of that person who was Muslim, the apostate, Murtad, is his fasting is invalidated. So if the person is fasting in Ramadan, for example, and that person apostated in the day of Ramadan, that day is breached. That day of fasting is breached due to his blasphemy. And so are his tayammum. It is also breached. That also applies to the marriage before the first sexual intercourse. It is breached as well. The apostate returns to Al-Islam before the idda. Then in that case, the apostate person, the murtad, if he returned to Islam before the idda is over, that period, before it's over, then one's spouse may come back to that person. It's only considered as a breaching to marriage when that person did not have the first sexual intercourse. However, if the apostate returns to Al-Islam before the idda is over, so he returned to Islam within the idda before it's over, then his wife returns to him, the spouse returns to that person. So there's no need for a new marriage contract or whatnot. In this case, it is not required to renew the marriage contract if the marriage contract was not done according to the Hanafi school. We're talking according to Imam al-Shafi'i, radiyallahu anhu. Moreover, the apostate marriage contract is not valid with a Muslim, a Jew, a Christian, or other ones. That is, the Murtad person, the one who's apostate, his marriage is not accepted, neither from a Muslim, nor a Jew, nor a Christian, or any others. They are obligated to return to Islam first. It is haram also to eat from the animal that the apostate person slaughters, the blasphemer. The person who was Muslim and blasphemed, committed ridda, we are not allowed to eat from that, from his slaughter. Whereas the Christian or the Jew, the original Christian or the Jew, if they slaughter in Islam, we are allowed to eat from their slaughtering of the animal, the cow or the like. The apostate also does not inherit, and the apostate's wealth is not inherited. It is not permissible to pray the janazah prayer for the apostate because he's no longer Muslim. He's a blasphemer and he is obligated to return to Islam. It is not an obligation to wash and shroud that person. In addition, it is not permissible to bury the apostate in the Muslim cemetery, and the apostate's money is fayt. That is, the money will be spent on Islamic matters for the cause of the people. That is the among the consequences of those who leave al-Islam or those who commit the apostasy, the ridda or the blasphemy. That is why the person is obligated to learn about Islam, the basics of Islam, stay steadfast on Islam because it is the religion of all the prophets and it is the way to paradise. We ask Allah to keep us steadfast on al-Islam and on the creed of Prophet Muhammad and the companions and the kind Al, the belief that Allah is the only God that deserves to be worshipped, that He has no partners, that Allah has no place, does not need a place, does not need any of the creations, that Allah cannot be imagined in the mind, and that Allah exists without a place. And we ask Allah to keep us steadfast on the belief that Prophet Muhammad is the last of the prophets, and that there is no prophet after him, and that Jesus, Moses, Abraham, and Adam are amongst the prophets of Allah, and that Islam is the only true and accepted religion by Allah. Ameen. And Allah Ta'ala knows best.